You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
This is a show in season three. If you didn't know, we included the
Dean,
Wiggler, and Jess. Here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, Dream Gale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking about season 3, episode 9 of Community Foosball and Nocturnal Vigilantism. I am Josh Wiggler, joined here once again by the person with the single best Christian Bale Batman impression on the planet, Jess Sterling. Jess, come on in as Batman, please.
I'm Batman.
I think it's improved.
It's good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like your Batman is really, really good.
I think it's gotten better.
With age and time.
Yeah, I think your Batman has definitely improved over the years, over the seasons.
This scene was a special challenge to us all.
It's pretty good.
You
know, I think once upon a time, Jess, I asked if we would see Batman again, and I don't remember if you actually said no, we won't, or if I'm just misremembering that you said no, we won't. But I did not have it on my bingo card that an Abed Batman return was happening today. This was very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, anytime Abed is going to dress up, it's usually going to be a fun time. And yeah. I think this is kind of a hint of what I had mentioned when I talked about the fact that now we have this trio of Annie, Troy, and Abed living together. Mm-hmm. And like the shenanigans that can ensue. This is like such a perfect example of how this trio works so well together.
Top-notch shenanigans afoot here at Greendale Community College, which means top-notch shenanigans about to ensue here on the Community Building Podcast, especially because, as I am to understand it, our guest today thinks that this is not just the best episode of Community. Didn't say that? No, that's a no. Oh my God, it's a no. We've misreported the facts. She does not think that this is the single best episode of Community ever, but I assume that she likes it. Anyway, we're bringing her on, Sarah Carradine.
I wish there was a word to describe the pleasures that I feel to be with you both today.
Oh my gosh. Should we invent one?
Sure. Yeah. Glusenschaften.
Glusenschaften.
Why not?
Glusenschaften.
Is that real?
No, but I could say ausgezeichnet, which means outstanding.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, love
I like that quite mm-hmm. a bit.
Look, now,
Sarah Carradine coming in and speaking Nick Kroll's native tongue as
European.
She is launching into the community building podcast.
I'm speaking European.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, Jess, not wrong. I messaged you an embarrassingly long time ago to say this episode contains the best single line of any sitcom that I've ever seen. And somehow with the perhaps the length of time and the number of times that I might have reminded you more than one less than 10 it might have translated. I can see how it could have morphed in your mind to this is my favorite episode. I think it has its faults, but it's got my two favorite characters at the fore, which is Abed and Shirley. And it's I can't wait to talk about it because I think it's fantastic. I do, however, think it has its faults, and it's not even my favorite community building episode, but it is one of my favorite episodes of television.
How do you know if it's definitely your favorite community building episode or not? We haven't even recorded it yet. We're doing it now.
I now call the property community building in my head. So sorry. Community. Yeah. Community. Yeah.
I thought that like you were secretly revealing like an accidental slip, Sarah, that you could see the future and that this episode of the podcast was going to be just fine.
I can see the future. It is very good.
It's going to be, what was the word for outstanding again?
Ausgezeichnet.
That's what this episode is going to be here as we are talking about season 3, episode 9, Foosball and Nocturnal Vigilantism, which I need to be careful to remember. It's vigilantism is the next word in the title of this episode.
What are you trying not to say? Emission.
Well, I'm not trying to tell you what I'm trying not to say. I'm trying to for an omission of the word that I'm trying not to say here, Sarah. That's
good
it.
Job.
Good Thanks, job. Thanks, Batman. Wow. The Batman is here. Oh my god.
So many
god.
Batmans.
There's a trio of Batmans here on the podcast today. Now, Sarah, it is a delight to have you back here on the Community Building Podcast. How have you been? What's been going on? Give us some plugs. Tell everybody what's happening in Sarah Carradine world.
Oh, well, it's winter here in beautiful Sydney, Australia, on Gadigal land, where I reside. Sovereignty was never ceded, but we live here, and we are kind of welcome. We've got a lot of catch up to do.
Sure.
And I am swimming in the cold ocean. So I always say to anybody in the sound of my voice, if you're ever in Sydney, I'll take you swimming in the ocean. It's fun.
It's cold though.
It's like 18 degrees, 17, 18. It'll go down a little bit.
I can't do the translation.
I'm doing it right now. Yeah, okay. That is 64.
Sarah, could you translate that to what is that in American?
64.
Sixty-four.
You're all 64. Sounds cold.
You got it.
But you know, you warm up.
64 degree water feels nice, actually.
Oh, it's really nice. It's invigorating. Yeah. It's salt, so it holds you buoyant, so you're being held up. And then you have occasional bursts of activity when you see a man in a gray suit in the water with you. So, we'll just move away from that.
Wait, there's someone in a suit jacket and pants when you say a suit?
It's a shark.
Oh, I thought that like I was envisioning someone is just like standing in the water wearing a gray suit.
So creepy.
Sort of like Kristen Shepherd Lost vibes.
I would be much more scared of that than our marine life that we see.
If some man in a suit comes up to me while I'm swimming, I'm running.
Would you be more scared of a shark swimming next to you or a man in a gray suit spontaneously being near you standing in the ocean?
The man in the gray suit.
I think so too.
Yes.
Because the shark is nature, right?
Like, shark's
and if this is
interested.
How I'm meant to go, then that was how I was meant to go.
Shark's not interested in us. We're in the way. We're not on the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not interested in us at all, let me tell you.
Yeah, life has taught me to fear men in general. Sharks, I'll take my chances.
Not Batman, though.
You should probably be afraid of Batman, too.
Well, we'll see. So I've been doing that, and then I've been podcasting over on RHAP about crime.
Yes.
So, yes.
The man in the gray suit sounds like a great subject for a crime scene podcast, Sarah.
I'll write it as a musical and bring it back to you.
This is a good callback. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's from the pre-show that you don't get unless you are a patron of post-show recaps, where you get to watch episodes of Community Building recording live. This podcast is releasing, by the way, early July, a beautiful time to sign up for the post-show recaps patron experience if you wish to do so. Patreon.com/post-show recaps. Sign up at any level and get access to early access releases of Community Building, live watches of Community Building coming together. And if you sign up at the $15 level a month, you get access to PSR Plus, Post Show Recaps Plus, where you get commercial-free podcasts all on the Post Show Recaps feed, every single one of them. Pretty good deal if that sounds fun to you. So Crime Scene, Sarah, what's the latest that's been going on Crime Scene? This is the podcast on RHAP with you and Mari talking crime.
We're talking crime. We review true crime properties with fascinating guests, and the latest one that is has dropped this week. It's July already for me, so I'm a bit confused by you saying it's nearly July, because I'm already in July.
True.
Was a property called Undercurrent, about and it tells us, do not go into homemade submarines with Danish entrepreneurs or you won't come out. So that was fantastic, with the amazing Rebecca Lavoie. And the one that will be out around the time that you're hearing this is talking about The Janes with Liana Boris. And The Janes was a group of women in the late 60s and 70s who formed an underground group to assist women to get abortions, which were at that time illegal.
Interesting.
So we are talking about that and trying to make an interesting podcast rather than just three women screaming in rage into their microphones.
But that would also be fair, I think.
But you said, oh, an hour 15 minutes. Yes, I'll listen to that now. I think
that's like a new form of, I don't know if that's, is this ASMR? You know,
it's just, I think what you need to do is, instead of like an ad break, right, you're like, and now we go to a quick word from us screaming.
Yeah,
and you just, everybody lets out a guttural scream together.
You hear the swoosh, so you get like the swoosh, and then just, and then cuts you just into like blood curdling screaming. Yeah, and then another swoosh, and you're back into the podcast.
I think
that's
not
a bad idea.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a justifiable response
that works
to the
out.
State of things.
It's good for your Batman impersonation if you scream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think, it like tires out the vocal cords to get you in the right place. And Batman is also out for justice, so the whole thing kind of lines up together. Well, that's great, Sarah. Good work going on there. This is a bit of a tone shift, though, as there's really not a lot of crime to speak of in Foosball and Nocturne. Oh, wait.
Wait.
Who broke the Dark Knight DVD?
Must have been a break-in.
The highest, the highest crime of recent memory. Mm-hmm. The biggest atrocity that I can think of in a good long minute. I think,
and
like a literal 60 seconds.
Don't forget the theft of the unusually specific and ornate Hebrew-themed jewelry.
That's right. It's from her bat mitzvah. That is a crime. So we're going to be talking about all of the Batman investigation. We're going to be talking about the foosball. We're going to be talking some anime as well, as we have this strange anime sequence that just occurs sort of three quarters of the way into the episode. Jess, is this a beloved episode of Community, would you say?
Like, obviously, so you haven't seen this one. So I did not put it on the list of, you know, back in the old days.
As I'm coming to learn, though, there's just too many episodes.
There's too many good episodes. Yeah, this one is definitely a good one for, I think, the main reason people have such a fondness for, at least I should say myself, is that I love the Shirley Jeff dynamic. And we've been there, right? They even bring it up in the episode with the tiny nipples of it all, right? We've been there. We've seen it. We've enjoyed it. And so bringing that back for another episode, I think people do love this episode. I think it's one of those that, like, if people are ranking episodes, it's probably more like in the second quarter, right? It's probably not in their top 10, but like it's probably in their top 25 or top 30. It's still a wonderful episode of Community, and I think both the storylines for me are great. They're both really good storylines.
Yeah.
So.
I really
no Pierce.
Yeah. Minimal Pierce.
Very minimal Pierce.
Very, very brief Pierce, but barely any Pierce. So minimal amounts of Pierce, and that's pretty good. No Chang, which I know, Jess, you're probably pumped about. Yeah. No Dean, which I'm sad about.
Yeah, and also I'm a bit sad about Chang. I am in the Chang gang. Yeah. But he would have been an intrusion into this one, I think.
I think so too. I'm trying to think of what would have been a good spot for Chang. I feel like you know, as like a Batman villain could have been fun. But like I think then now you're like getting like a little bit too cartoony Batman. But I think that a Chang Batman villain could have been pretty good. But I think it's fine without him. I think it's fine without the Dean. I don't really know where the two of them fit in the narrative here. Yeah, I think that this was just like a really fun episode of the show. This is not going to be one that I give a full four to. I gave a full fours for, I think, the 2 weeks leading up to this one. Won't be a full four, but it'll be much more positive than not. So why don't we get into it, Jess? Let's talk about foosball and nocturnal vigilantism. What happens in this episode of Community?
Yes. So Anthony Russo directed it. Again, of course, the Russo brother directed it. It's going to be pretty fun. So we start off in the student lounge, and in the background, you kind of hear this like loud noise. But Annie comes up and she asks what everyone's doing for the weekend. And we get very little Britta content in this episode. But what we do get, I just love. I think it's top notch. She's going to volunteer in an animal hospital. And I love that Abed has to clarify to Troy that the animals are the patients.
Mm-hmm.
he looks so sad.
Oh. Yeah.
As Jeff makes fun of Britta because she won't spend money on a name brand phone, but she will spend money for LASIK surgery on her one-eyed cat.
Uh-huh. I, having recently recovered from LASIK surgery, I suppose still recovering, I still do have the rainbow glare is continuing on. That might just be here, by the way. I wonder. And if so, not the worst side effect.
You just make things a little bit brighter.
Yeah,
you know,
it's kind of cool. It's like, oh, there's a rainbow. That's just for me. You all can't see that. That's pretty nice for me. But I don't think that, I don't really think that a cat is going to be a good candidate for LASIK surgery. Sarah, can you imagine a cat for LASIK?
I think the aftercare will be terrible. I don't think they will be following
what
the
about
protocols.
The present care, the just the care, you know, the moment. I don't know how you're the cat can't
cats
the cat has to look
anything.
They have to look though. The cat has to look. The cat
can they knock him out a little bit?
No. Believe me, if you could knock him out, I'd be unconscious for my LASIK. No, you need to be awake. You need to be able to stare at lasers.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't taking that into my calculations.
Yeah,
yeah.
so
yeah,
this
would be
the origin of this is the origin of laser cats could be coming from
there you
here.
Go but she's like, well, I can't get him a monocle, you know, that would be pretentious, and her phone is a Totorola.
By the way, a monocle
with a monocle
cat.
I am
thumbs
in.
Up yeah,
I'm totally
I think
in.
Britted this one up. There was a much cheaper and fashionable and frankly profitable solution right in front of her. You know, giving the cat LASIK, no one's really going to notice the difference. You give the cat a monocle and suddenly you're talking about dozens of Instagram followers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You could monetize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Troy and Abed say their plans are to watch The Dark Knight. They got their limited edition $300 Dark Knight DVD with bonus footage,
$299
commentary.
Yeah, come on.
A Christian Bale autograph and a personalized message of up to four words. Mm-hmm. And it just says, Abed is Batman now.
Abed is Batman now. And Abed counts to make sure he gets his four.
Yeah, gets his four words in.
Christian Bale would have been all too happy to write that in real life, by the way, I think. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, I don't want to be Batman anymore. You could be Batman, Abed. That's fine.
Here you go.
Yeah.
And so then Abed takes a little shot at Annie. He says, like, listen, if you see this lying out, I'm still using it. You don't have to take it to the kitchen, dump it out, and wash out the bowl.
Beautiful.
Oh, it sounds like he's mad at her for being like a super conscientious roommate.
That's what I'm saying. If you're gonna leave your buttered noodles out for like multiple days, Abed, I feel like it's well within Annie's right to go dump them out and wash the bowl.
Hard disagree. Hard disagree. No,
it's gonna, you're gonna get ants.
No.
That's how you get ants.
So ants don't hurt you?
What? I don't care if they hurt me. I don't want them in my space.
Depends upon the kind of ant,
well,
Sarah, and depends upon the kind of hurt.
Here in Australia, they will kill you. But mm-hmm. the ants that you're talking about, the
but painlessly.
Black
ones, that's horrifying.
Oh, no, no, very, very unbelievably painful. Okay. A friend of mine once disrobed violently in the back of a car to nudity in front of mixed company because she had, as she had got into the car, some fire ants had gone up the leg of her jeans.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, very unpleasant. But the little tiny black ones you're talking about, they just want a tiny bite. They just want a tiny bite. And they're
they
not going to
take
hurt
their
you.
Bites outside.
Yeah.
The thing is, if it's not your plate, why are you worried about it?
Because it's going to attract ants.
Because, Sarah, it's your apartment.
Yeah.
Because it's your apartment. And it's your home. And I think that the first step here is a conversation. And then barring the conversation, preventing progress from being made, action must be taken.
Yeah.
And the action is taking the bowl of buttered noodles out of the common space so ants aren't in your common space anymore.
Well, ants don't understand the delineation of the bed sheet.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're in the bed sheet fort with the buttered noodles, they're not going to just get to the edge and not go
stay there.
Further.
Yeah. Stay there. That's true. That's a fair point.
Yeah.
We'll get to the bottom of this by the end.
Yeah, we're going
to
get
to the bottom of
the
bowl.
Meanwhile, these foosball bros defeated Garrett, and Abba's just like, I think they're more, the European, it's probably just a more important game over there. Foosball's like the soccer of ping pong.
Brilliant.
Foosball's the soccer of ping pong. Yeah, I think that tracks.
It absolutely tracks.
Yeah.
Jeff is annoyed. And so he says, my name is Clarence Thaddeus Foos. My grandfather, Fletcher Morton Foos, invented this game for one purpose, to have the loudest, dumbest thing happen. Now it has. The game of foosball is completed.
Sarah, do you have any strong takes about Nick Kroll as the foosball captain here, playing this role as chief foosball bully?
I think he completely disappears into the role. We've seen Nick Kroll in various positions before, but in this one, it might not even be him. I feel he is completely engaged and disappeared into this role.
Nick
even
Kroll,
his eyes are a different color.
He loves a good character comedy bit. You know, he loves to disappear into a different character.
Mm-hmm.
Some would say too much tuna. Some would say not enough. I think people's scores on the Nick Kroll of it all would vary from person to person. I think he's A-OK.
I do too.
Just fine.
I think if you don't like Nick Kroll, then you're not going to like this episode.
That's
because it's very
true.
Crowley. Like he's not actually in it a lot, but the bits that he are in it are bigness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's my second language, so I'm having a little trouble with English.
All ants are also Crowley.
Yes.
They crawl all over the floor.
Mm-hmm. 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 And they do like colors too, so it all works out.
And you might get formication.
Yeah.
Do you know what formication is?
Formication?
Formication, yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad that we enunciated.
Formication is the feeling that you have insects crawling all over your body.
Yeah.
Very different from fornication.
Oh, quite. Well,
Well, depends.
It's some circumstances.
It depends on who you are, I guess.
Depends on your partner and your proclivity. Yeah.
So Jeff is going to challenge Nick Kroll and his friends in a game of foosball, ostensibly to be this day's holder of the Shiva Trophy. That's a reference to the league. If anyone is wondering if I've ever watched it before, the answer is yes. And Jeff is immediately just knocked flat. This does not go great for him.
Yeah.
Little do we know, this is rooted in deep childhood trauma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish there was a word to describe the pleasure I feel at viewing misfortune.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. Is that the line, Sarah? You don't
that
tell
is
me
exactly
if
the line.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's pretty good. It's pretty
That's
good.
The line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I first heard it, I literally fell down. Literally.
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
What is that word, by the way?
Schadenfreude.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the outstanding word again.
Ausgezeichnet.
That's it. That's
Ausgezeichnet.
It. It's the new Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude.
Yeah.
That's good.
I love Schadenfreude. Sounds like you're being shady. That's
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
And it kind of is.
It,
Yeah, they're having pleasure. It's someone's displeasure for misfortune.
But you see, this is how you know he's not German, because he does not know the word.
It's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
So Britta tries to take a photo of Jeff, and her phone just like explodes. Her Totorola.
So Britta's barely in this episode, so I can't like give her too much props, but I thought that Britta's contributions to this episode were pretty strong. The exploding phone, I laughed really, really hard.
So good.
I love Britta. Yeah. I didn't give her very many meow meows, but just simply because of her screen time. But when she's there, my God.
Very good.
Wonderful. Impact. Yeah.
Very good impact. Yep. Agreed.
So we're in the apartment. Annie is doing dishes and she stops herself from picking up a plate with like a leftover PBJ sandwich on it. So she's like, well, I can clean the dust, right? Like I can move around the dust. So she's dusting the TV and she steps on the Dark Knight DVD that is just hanging out on the floor. A $300 DVD.
$299.
Hanging out on the floor. And so Troy comes out of the blanket for it, and did you notice it, Josh? He's singing Daybreak.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He also turns back to lock the.
He does. He locks the blanket for it. Yeah. And so he starts they both start freaking out, and he's like, "Why did you do this?" She's like, "I was dusting the TV." And he goes, "Why?"
I'm with Troy. I'm with Troy. Why?
Because she lives
here, Sarah.
But it's only in this area.
Okay, here's a little physics lesson for everybody within the sound of my voice. When you dust, the dust goes off the thing you're dusting up into the air, and it hangs there suspended for a certain amount of time, and then it gently settles back to its original place.
And so you do it again. What are you suggesting, Sarah, that you don't dust at all?
I never dust.
Because it
never dust.
Wait, do you do the other type of like
to the place?
But do you do the normal type of like actual? I don't use a feather duster. I feel like that is completely pointless and is just going to irritate my allergies. I like do the spray and the wipe, and that then it all goes on thing, and then you throw it away.
A spray and wipe is a solid maneuver.
Yeah. I don't understand this thing that you're talking about.
We'll talk offline. We'll catch up. Yeah. And then we'll report back in a future episode.
So he's freaking out, and Annie's like, well, we'll just get another. And he's like, yeah, then we have to record fake exclusive commentary by Christian Bale. Go ahead, you first.
This scene was a special challenge. Challenge all involved.
I guffawed so hard at this.
Yeah. I love the way she trails off. It's just perfect.
I'm so good.
I am not an Annie lover as Jess is. I like the character, but I'm not a huge. Yeah. But this episode is just like perfection of Annie for me. But particularly,
this scene was a special challenge for all involved.
It's so good.
Yeah, and so he's just like, listen, do you know how many sitcoms have done the secretly replace a broken priceless item thing? Abed does. Abed knows everything. And he says, you can't get your way out of this with your thinkiness.
Yeah, but don't think too much.
Yeah, he's right.
And he starts crying while doing Daybreak again. And Annie's just like attempts to do another Batman impression. And it's just as bad.
No, it's good. It's pretty good. She's pretty good at doing the Batman, I think. So we start to push the ball down the field, as it were, in the foosball storyline, as Jeff is trying to sharpen the skills for a rematch. And Shirley comes by, and it turns out that she can teach him a thing or two, that she is an exceptional foosball player.
Yeah.
As she takes a turn at the table and just bounces the ball back and forth between people kicking the ball around. Epic. Yeah. Yeah,
so
excellent
good
maneuvers. It's been a minute since we've had like a really like lights out Shirley episode. Mm. I was so happy to have one.
Mm. I mean, she does give him very good advice, which is you don't have to worry about what foreigners think about you. That's your birthright as an American.
Oh no,
it's so bad.
Oh no.
Yeah, and so I love after she like shows him how good she is at this, she's like, "You don't know me.
You don't know me.
It's so good.
Perfect."
Yeah.
I wish I had a sponge I could bite. I'm so excited.
You don't know me.
So good. You don't know me. You don't know me. With the hand. Oh.
It's so good. And then meanwhile, back at the apartment, Troy and Abed are like talking about the viewing order they're going to be doing of this DVD. And they walk in the apartment and Annie has just like completely trashed it. And she's like, we got
robbed! We got robbed! And she goes and hugs Abed and then just like looks at Troy.
It's so good.
The look makes this is really, really excellent. Really, yeah. Really great. Yeah.
So Shirley agrees to teach Jeff. And she's like, listen, they're not evil people that are good at foosball. They're good at foosball because they're evil. It's an evil game that brings out the worst in us.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Like out of town weddings where the reception's in the same place as everybody's rooms. So like she's talking about when you go to a wedding and it's at the hotel you're staying at, that is an evil.
That an evil. Yes. The game is evil in the same way.
Convenient.
I think it's convenient too. I really don't like weddings where you have to go one place for the ceremony, another place for the reception, and then you're moving all over the place.
And you have that downtime in between, and it's
You know, that's kind of like it's par for the course with the process. But like, if you can do it all in one spot, I find that to be massively convenient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love Jeff saying, after 3 years of religious advice and carb-laden pastries, you finally have one thing I actually need.
Yeah.
And so this is when Shirley's just like asking forgiveness from God because she's going to teach him. And there's Leonard just walking by. The stakes have never been higher. Shut up, Leonard. Yeah. I found your YouTube page. What's the point in reviewing frozen pizzas?
What's the point in you're doing talking about frozen it. Pizza? You're talking about it.
About it. She gives him that. Yeah. I love Leonard. Leonard is just the tiny backpack of it all.
The backpack is the best part, right? Mm-hmm. He's like an 80-something-year-old dude just like walking around with a children's backpack.
Just last week, we had Mike Heller on the podcast talking about how much he loves Leonard. And little did Mike know, or maybe he did, that he was 1 week off from an incredible Leonard episode. The frozen pizza review at the end of this is, for me at least, and I imagine to some degree, like the rare post-credit scene that doesn't feature Troy or Abed at all and is still undeniably incredible.
Amazing.
Really, 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 really terrific with Leonard.
And his end title on his YouTube is just...
it's amazing. Yeah. I think we have
a screen cap of that.
Yeah, it's incredible. And he's not wrong.
No.
So Shirley tells Jeff he has to tap into his darkness. Jeff admits that the few times that she's been bad, he's liked her most, like remember Tiny Nipples.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny Nipples.
Yes. That's a good callback.
She goes on and on. She's like, it's kill or be killed, little man. Mm-hmm.
I love it when she says, follow that shame to the fear, follow that fear to the rage, put that rage up your ass, turkey. Mm-hmm. I love Shirley so much.
And he's like, you called me turkey.
Two ways off the table, kill or be killed. If those are the stakes heading into foosball, I shan't play it. Are either of you particularly talented in the foosball arena?
I can manipulate the foosenschaffen. Yeah.
You can hang.
Very good. I'm not good. I'm not anywhere, you know, as good as
them. Jess is a ping pong ringer, if I'm not mistaken.
I love ping pong. Yeah. I love ping. I'm not like the best at ping pong, but I do get very competitive about
Sarah,
it.
She's
and
a
I
ringer.
Enjoy
she's
it.
A ringer. Be careful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a not, ping, pong, I mean, about ping pong shark.
I have some hidden skills. My hidden skill that I'm the most proud of is I can fold a fitted sheet.
Ah, oh, I wish I could do that.
Martha Stewart taught me. Sheet. I'll teach you. The next time we get together, Jess, I will
Is
I
that
will
particularly
teach you.
Challenging to fold a
What do you mean?
Sheet?
Yes. Everybody just lumps it into a ball and throws it in the linen closet.
Oh,
because
it's got
up.
Like the Elastiband type
yes.
deal. Yeah.
I will,
yeah,
give, you, that is, I will yeah. give you a flat square or oblong if you like.
Interesting. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. Well, why don't we how about we put a fitted sheet over this podcast for just a moment while we throw this to our sponsors for this episode of Community Building. And when we are done, we will fold the fitted sheet back up and continue talking about foosball and Nocturnal. Can't say it. Stay tuned.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, we are back. Let's go back to the apartment. Yeah, we were just screaming for a little while. In between the swooshes. I don't know if you got that, if that ad broke through. It's geographically dictated. Okay, so let's go back to the apartment. Let's go back to the apartment. Police officer is here, and he did look familiar to me.
Yeah, he's been around. And he says it too.
Yeah.
He says, like, oh, aren't you the one that I pretended to shoot a guy in front of to teach you about gun safety? I'm really good at faces.
Yeah.
So this is when Annie says that not only is the DVD missing, but she's missing a necklace. It was white gold with emeralds, and it had her name in Hebrew. She got it as a bat mitzvah gift. And he's very honest, this cop. He's just like, yeah, it's probably not going to show up, just to let you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll write a report for it.
Yeah. Abed immediately knows that something is up. Instantly, he suspects that someone on the inside is responsible for this. It's an inside job. Someone took the Batman DVD and someone took this very specific piece of jewelry for Annie. And so Annie thinks that she's about to be accused here, and she tries to get out in front of it. But Abed very quickly cites the landlord, Rick, who I believe is this Spooge from Breaking Bad.
It is. This is Spooge.
Yeah.
And I saw
not Mister.
Like,
you can't say omission, but you can say Spooge.
It's the name. It's his name.
It's literally. It's the only name. Spooge. He showed up in both Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. His name is Spooge. Something horrific happens to him. It is fantastic. In one of a very amazing episode of Better Call Saul. Breaking Bad. I love that episode.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. I just rewatched that one. So they think, or Abed thinks that it's going to be the landlord. And so he needs to, he's going to need to pound the pavement here.
He had means, opportunity, and motive.
Yeah, he was dressed as the Joker for Halloween.
This adds up, right, Sarah's our crime expert?
Yep. You need all of those things. And he has them all.
Yes.
Yeah. And I love Troy's like, then let's not leap to doing things, right, Annie? And he's like,
my favorite. I couldn't write that line down, but if I'd been writing down five, I'd say, yeah, God,
yeah, it's like squealy noises.
Sorry if you have dogs.
Meanwhile, we have Shirley training Jeff. Double strike, back blast, viper shot.
Viper shot's cool.
Viper shot.
Yeah.
And this is when the German bros
on the
enter.
Blackboard behind them as well. Viper shot. A little drawing of the foos table. Oh, it's brilliant.
And here comes Nick Kroll. Look, you do play foosball, but you have to practice with your mama.
And so they agree. Monday morning, let's make it interesting. The losers never get to use the table again.
Oh, you are so on that things have now become very much like Donkey Kong.
I'm going to kick Das butt.
Yeah.
Shirley likes that one. It's very good.
I'm going to kick Das butt is like the most sitcom-y line in this episode, I love it. Like, that's for whatever reason, that's the line that like most gets me to be, oh yeah, this is a TV show.
What year did Dust Boot come out?
Oh, many, many moons before this one.
Really?
Yeah, I believe.
I just in my head canon they're contemporaneous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible. Maybe the reboot? Yeah.
Oh!
Das Reboot?
Joshua. Das Reboot.
And this 1981.
Oh, then wait. Yeah, wait.
For Das Boot,
two
the
years,
original.
20 years before Luftballons.
30 years?
Yes, yes. Das Reboot, forthcoming. Yeah.
And this is when we have the most ridiculous bit, where the two guys pick up Nick Kroll. They throw the soccer ball and he swings like the foosball man and kicks it. And then they just leave it.
Yeah.
They just leave it there.
It's pretty powerful.
They're just walking around with it.
Yeah.
And then Jeff's like, what an expensive, ridiculous bit. They just left the ball. He's incredulous. Yeah. And it's fantastic.
Yes. $25.
They're sports balls in general, very expensive. Why did you make that face when I said sports balls? I can't, like, there's so many types of balls in sports. Like, I can't just
say
one.
I think it was a fair thing to say.
Sports balls.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know what else to say. Anyway.
So Abed has become Batman. Here he comes. Yes. Batman returns.
The police are powerless. I may take justice into my own hands.
Operate above the law. But there's something else above the law. Bats and me.
Yeah, and he has a grappling hook, and Troy got it for him for Christmas.
Its fingers curling as if to say, come here.
Come here.
It's so good. It's so good. And so Annie is like admitting at this point that she broke the DVD. She doesn't want Abed to, I don't know, die. And Abed doesn't believe her. He's like, you're lying to keep me out of danger. But there could be no peace while crime spits and dances on the grave of justice to the hot beats of infectious rhythm.
Of all that is wrong. And once again, it definitely feels like Annie's like, ooh, Abed. Like,
she does. Yes. She makes a face.
He touches her face. And she
Yes. And that is enough for Annie to be like, oh, Abed. I'm kind of here for Annie.
It's the Don Draper of it all, right? Yeah. It's whenever he plays the hero of the story, she's like, oh.
I kind of love it. I kind of think it's great. I think that they have great chemistry together.
They do. They do. I am not denying that.
Yep.
Definitely true.
Yep.
And so, yeah, so Abed climbs out, and of course, then Annie's going to follow him. And then Troy's like, you moving in here was supposed to tone us down.
Yeah, things have escalated for sure. No doubt.
So we're now at a Mexican restaurant where Jeff and Shirley are hanging out. And this is where they get into a little bit about their background, right? And earlier in the episode, Jeff had mentioned how he got bullied. And so Shirley now mentioned this story where she was really good at foosball. She beat up this little white boy.
Yep.
And she started jabbing him with the rods and he peed himself. And after that, she had to start thinking about where her life was headed. And Jeff realizes in this moment that he was the little white boy.
And yes. And so we get this flashback scene that includes actor Jacob Bertrand, who is Eli, a.k.a. Hawk on Cobra Kai, a great character on that show, as young Jeff Winger being Tinkletown to Shirley's Big Cheddar. And this was, I thought, like a cool reveal that these two people have this history together. I think is actually kind of great. You know, this was not something that was even a little bit on my radar that the two of them would have this past together. And I even think that this makes some of their earlier interactions back in the beginning of the show, like the throwback to the Von's tiny nipples of it all. And like the friendship and like the insta chemistry that the two of them have. It's like the kind of thing that's like built on some form of shared history, even if they didn't know it. I love that. I think that's great. I think that that's like one of those moments just for me that like I would say, like, you know, when you go back to season one of Lost, knowing what happened in season five, they didn't know what was going on. And I talk like this on the podcast on Down the Hedge. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know that this was going to be the thing that they were building to back then. But it plays like that. And it plays really well. I love that this history between the two of them exists. I thought this was a really, really fun twist that I had no idea was coming.
Yeah, this is also for Lost and for here. It's creators who know the history of the show and they carry it with them. And so when they say, they knew each other as children or, you know, whatever it might be in Lost, it's built on a knowledge of this makes sense because of what we have known about them before, even though we didn't know in season one that this is where it was going to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Especially because we've always known they were the same age. Like that has come up before where they always like said, oh, Shirley's the old one. And she's like, I'm the same age as Jeff. And so it kind of makes even more sense when you put like that into context as well. And so, yeah, so Jeff gets called Tinkletown.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. And Shirley is Big Cheddar,
mm-hmm.
which what you I wish Tinkle I could Town? Be Big Cheddar.
Don't call me that. All your fake sweetness and religion is just a veil covering a horrible monster. And I had a lot of Mountain Dew that day.
Poor Jeff. He gets up and leaves. He's so traumatized by all of this. Because like Shirley, who he's been friends with now for years, turns out to be Big Cheddar, who traumatized him as a child. Yeah. And you know how children are and how terrible they are and how like you get a terrible nickname and that name sticks.
You're Tinkletown for life.
Mm-hmm. You're Tinkletown forever. Poor Jeff.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sarah, Tinkletown sounds like a great name for a true crime podcast.
I think it is, and I shall be writing a musical about it immediately.
Yeah. I just want to throw that out to you. Yeah. You it's just a, go take that and run with it.
It's a deep, long con crime. For a town in fear. Mm-hmm. Cross your legs. It's Tinkletown.
So back at the apartment, we have them getting into the, we see the landlord, who is Spooge from Breaking Bad, sitting in a recliner. Abed breaks in and he's
but first you see the shadow of the bat beside Spooge. I'm trying to do ears. Here we go.
Yeah, and there's ears.
His entry into the apartment and getting like tangled up on his way in. You know, and just like the difficulty with which he is Batmaning in this episode kind of for me flies in the face of Abed as like stealthily the best athlete in Greendale. I do think that the physical comedy here is funny, but I don't know that it's super consistent with what I view of Abed of being like actually maybe secretly superhuman. But maybe this is him like Clark Kenting it.
This is why superheroes shouldn't have capes, because you get trapped, untangled on things.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, maybe. You know what I came for, scum? Where is it? And he immediately like is like, it's in the closet. And we're all like, what's in the closet? What's in the closet? And he opens the closet, and it's just a ton of women's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Including her summer belly flats.
Yeah, she lost in the move. And so she's like, and then she pulls out a piece of the broken DVD. She's like, he has it, and it looks like he broke it. And Troy's just like, who are you?
Troy also says he doesn't have a wife or women's feet. Do you think? You don't know
this guy is a big time creepo. Mm-hmm. Big time creepo who steals women's shoes. Don't like that. Not a big fan of that. Nope.
No.
Meanwhile, we're back in the student lounge, and Shirley's just sitting in the dark when Jeff gets there. And he's like, if you wanted to say something, why didn't you just text me? And she's like, well, I didn't know what to say. And he says, because of that day, he changed everything about himself, his clothes, his hair, his personality, all because of Shirley. And she just says like, you know what? You don't have a trademark on self-pity. And so then they start, playing foosball against each other. Bring it on. Bring the cheddar, Big Cheddar.
Yeah. And it becomes this huge anime battle, which is super fun. I don't know necessarily what it's doing here in the episode. I'm not mad about it. I think it's done really well. And I think like sort of like the high drama. I mean, like speaking of musicals, Sarah, like there's like a big musical emotional release quality to like the best animes, especially like the really action oriented ones, that a big fight scene will go on for an obscenely long period of time. One fight scene across many, many episodes in the case of certain shows, that I feel like here, like sort of like a music number, like a big action scene popping off. So I really enjoyed the way that it played out. I thought it was very effective. I also thought it was totally random and just a strange choice to suddenly throw an animated sequence in the middle of this thing. Not mad about it. Thrilled to have watched it. Not so sure that I understand its place here.
Well, it's like in a musical where you burst into song because your emotion is bigger than can be contained in mere words.
Right.
Here you have someone confronting their childhood bully, which is unbelievably powerful. But for Shirley also, she's expiating guilt of that time in her life as well, that she's tried to cover up with pastries and Christianity. So it's random in one way, but in another way, it's psychologically and theatrically really apt, because it is this incredible moment of apotheosis for both of them. And so it has to, I'm doing an upward movement with my hands, which is exactly what the anime does. So on one hand, random, but for me, theatrically, it's this or a song.
Yeah. Yeah. Jess, do you like this one? Do people typically like this sequence in this episode?
Yes, I would say a lot of people like it, but there are people who feel the same way you do, Josh, that it's kind of randomly placed here in that, like, they didn't do a full anime episode.
Which
it's
I'd
like
be psyched for. Would have been fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I think. This very much feels like we would have done a full anime episode, but Roxanne blew our budget type of thing, right? Where like, you know, like it was like they wanted to pull things in from season two. Like, hey, we could still do this thing. We could still do fun, weird genre stuff.
Yep.
But it's just a tiny moment. And I think it's very effective. I actually really like it. I think it's really fun. It's a very different, and it adds a little bit like this. To me, this episode stands out because of it, right? Not just because of that, but like when I think of the foosball episode, that's the first thing that comes to my mind is the anime portion.
Yep.
So it does make its mark, I guess. But yeah, mileage may vary on whether or not you like it or feel like it's a little bit like it takes you out of the moment a little bit. So then they apologize to each other because they both realize like, wow, this is like all we had in that moment. And we both think we're decent people now. So they apologize to each other. Meanwhile, at the apartment, it's like so bothers me. Rick has agreed to stay out of your apartment as long as you stay out of his. And he says, I'm getting tired of saying this to people, but things wouldn't happen if you'd invest in a simple shoe safe.
A simple shoe safe?
Mm-hmm. Lock up your shoes.
How many people is he saying this to?
For being a creeper?
How many people is he saying this to? That line, though, of I'm getting tired of saying this to people. These things wouldn't happen if you invested in a simple shoe. How many different people has he had to talk to about this?
Have you seen the closet?
A lot.
But I think a fair commentary on who actually should have been getting in trouble for this one.
Yeah, and he says, sweetie, you're a renter. Look forward to owning a house. Be glad he's not into heads.
Yes.
What?
We don't know he's not. That's the thing. Yeah. We don't know he's not.
Yes.
Yeah. So Abed is like, oh, if you ever need me, he still dresses Batman. If you ever need me, I'm out of school at 4. And he doesn't understand why the landlord still denied taking the DVD and why he broke it. And Annie's like, well, maybe he stepped on and he felt really, really, really bad. And so this is when she apologizes. She broke his DVD. And Abed says, apology accepted, but I wouldn't mention it to Abed. That guy's pretty ruthless. And that's coming from Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wonderful. And then he's Abed again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Abed, but he just missed. He just missed Batman.
Yeah, he comes in. Where have you been, Abed? So good.
Incredible.
And Troy really, in that moment, wonders where he's been.
Yeah.
It's Troy.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
I just think like Donald Glover is just so perfect at playing dumb that it's not annoying. I think like a worse actor could get annoyed, right? Mm-hmm. With the amount of like stupidity, but he's just so genuinely, sincerely like adorable that you just can't be mad.
And it's not really dumb. It's just like, what world does he live in where an animal hospital is where the animals are the doctors, and a world where Batman has arrived and his roommate who absolutely loves Batman just missed him. So
tell
it's not
what,
dumb exactly. It's this world inside his head.
I would love to go to there.
Oh, yes.
Love to go to there. Yeah. Sounds like a great
I'd
place.
I'd like a break from now. Here and I'd like to go to there.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
that's the peacock.
At the student lounge, it's foosball time.
It is.
And Shirley and Jeff decide that the way they're going to win this is just by torturing Nick Kroll and his cronies, as they are going to knock the ball into the center of the table, which anyone who has ever played foosball knows is the most obnoxious, annoying thing in the world when no one can touch the ball at all. But you could just move it unless you are Nick Kroll, who cannot be bothered. He cannot just move it. He needs to kick it. But will he ever be able to kick it, or are these three going to be stuck at the foosball table forever?
Well, he calls them Freudekatzen, which is pleasure cats.
Says,
let's go, Freudekatzen. And I just thought, oh, that is hilarious.
Ready for your spanking?
Ready for your spanking?
So good.
Enough Teutonic puns.
Yeah. Well, they've been spanked, Nick Kroll has. And we get to see Jeff and Shirley walk off into the sunset as Tinkletown and Big
so
Cheddar.
Cute. Yeah. And they're like, they're holding arms. It's like adorable.
Like Echo and Yemi.
It's so cute. Nice.
We love it. Mm-hmm. It's so cute.
Yeah. Yes.
Very, very good.
I love how Community does that. It's this sitcom that lives at a certain kind of quite high level of, you know, amusement. Mm-hmm. But then it does things like, you know, you were bullied, healing childhood through foosball and nocturnal vigilantism, or however it is that you do it. And then you can walk away arm in arm as two wonderful kids. I was sort of almost annoyed at how moved I was. Don't move me.
It was good. They moved it.
I didn't come here to be moved.
It was moving. It was moving, though. It was. You know what else was moving? The post-credit scene.
as
Leonard is moving four cheese pizzas in the market, clearly with the power of his review, as he's reviewing Eugenio's four cheese pizza. Is this a real frozen pizza, or is this specifically Community?
You know, I've never heard of this, I've bought
Eugenio's
frozen pizza.
No,
it only comes up with Leonard stuff online.
He bought it at Kroger.
The cheese is good. Definitely a buy.
Cheese is good. Definitely a buy. I mean, just the straight way that they play this is so funny to me.
And tell me you recognized the song at the end when the video closes.
I'm as high as hell and you're about to get shot.
So good. A classic.
The title card that shows up after the review is over is this incredible rant from Leonard, in which he says, first off, would someone please explain to me why, in the age of digital streaming, I have to pay late fees for the movies I rent? I'm a responsible person. I pay my taxes. Seriously, I'm not trying to be a dick about this. I really want to know. Seems to me that the only competitive advantage these rental stores have over the internet is face-to-face customer service. So why are you working so hard to make me not want to talk to you just because I kept Dan in real life a couple extra days? There were a lot of special features, and I didn't ask my daughter for a Blu-ray player not to see them all. Oh, and by the way, what happened to the days when these rental jockeys would actually watch the movies they have so they could give you recommendations instead of just standing there like, da-doy, yeah, I guess there's probably nudity in Dan in real life. Well, guess what, Chelsea? There isn't. That Juliette Binoche, though, va-va-va-voom. That's one frozen pizza that gets my oven going at 350 degrees. Anyway, hit me up on the comment side, unless you're a hater, or catch me on Twitter, at LeonardGCC. And remember, see something, say something. Hilarious.
Oh my God,
absolutely incredibly ridiculous.
I love Leonard.
Oh, my gosh.
It's perfect. It's obviously a Streets Ahead. It's the best one that doesn't have Troy and Abed.
It is like clearly Streets Ahead as a Streets Ahead gets.
It's so good.
Very, very good.
Perfect.
And unbelievable. All right, we've got some F Community feedback. Let's start it out with April, who wrote and said, I used to be able to bust out a perfect Abed is Batman now on command. This episode was a stealth encapsulation of Donald Glover doing Donald Glover things perfectly. The daybreak as he comes out of the blanket fort and locks it up is chef's kiss, not to mention every single side-eye action at Annie. This was the first time I think I recognized a natural daybreak in the wild, which felt good.
Yes.
Yeah, that felt good.
You're going to recognize more of them. There's so many.
Yeah, felt very good. This from Bram. Bram says, it really seems like the show has had no idea what to do with Shirley for quite some time. And Yvette Nicole Brown is a powerhouse comic actor. I've been sad to see her kind of relegated to kooky Christian woman in the background for most of the season. I love that we got some iconic Shirley stuff here. Sarah, iconic Shirley stuff here, you would say?
Oh, thrilling, thrilling. I mean, even when she's used very minimally, I hang on her every movement, eye, word, and so on. And this, and Bad Shirley is the best Shirley, Jeff's right. And she, the nuance... You don't know me. I mean, and she's absolutely right. And the feeling and emotion, and yes, it's funny, but it's also so rooted in this character. She knows this character really, really well. So that when she comes up with, you know, follow the shame and up your ass turkey, you go, yeah, that is also Shirley. It's not like she's not acting out of character. This is that character. And I think the thing that's really interesting about Shirley is we see unjudgmentally by the creators how her Christianity and the way she holds on to it and the niceness of stuff is sitting on top of a real volcano of, you know, pain and trauma, because we love talking about pain and trauma when we're talking about comedy. But this is what elevates the comedy, I think, is that we see her in such control of the character, and the creators allow that. So I can't say enough about it. She's my second favorite character after Abed.
This was from, first of all, Riley comes in and says it's a super charming episode. It reiterates that Jeff and Shirley are the most underrated dynamic in the study group. But the thing that Riley says that I think is really amazing is Riley says, I own the Blu-ray that Annie breaks in this episode. There is no director's commentary on it. Aww. Because there straight up isn't a director's commentary for The Dark Knight. As someone who owns that exact Blu-ray, it is weirdly immersion breaking for me.
Aww.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know if Chris Nolan does director's commentaries. I guess I haven't encountered a Chris Nolan director's commentary in my time. All right, meow, meow time. There's two bagels to award immediately, and I think we're all the same across the board just because they're not in here at all. Chang and the Dean, bagels all week for these two. Then I give Pierce a 2. He shows up. His one line is like funny-ish, I guess, but he's not even like qualifying for average this week for me. I have Britta at a 3, which I feel like I could go higher with Britta because I think her one real contribution to this episode was very funny. I am going to go higher with Britta. I'm going to give Britta, let's give Britta a 3.5. We'll go up to a 3.5 for Britta. Then I give a 4 to Troy, not to break April's heart. I think Troy is terrific in this episode. I just think that there are 4 full 5 performances from Jeff, from Abed, from Annie, and Shirley. This is their episode for me, and it is a perfect episode for the 4 of them. So I'm just delineating Troy from those 4 fives that are coming out for Annie, Shirley, Abed, and Jeff. Sarah, what did you do with your meow meow beans?
Well, I bageled Pierce because the line is that he does have isn't funny, and you could just cut it straight out. I gave Britta a 2, but listening to you, I'm now going to up that to a 3. Sorry, Jess.
Nope, you're good.
I did that really more for amount of time in the episode, but that's not really what we give meow meows for. So give Britta a 3 there. Abed, Troy, Shirley, Annie, 5s. Fives across the board.
Fives.
And Jeff, I gave a 4.2. I don't know why. I'm sure I had a reason.
Why is it because he peed? Is it because of the mountain town?
No, not at all. I just feel like there was a depth and an extension of the ownership and of the characters and an expansion of it for the others. And Jeff was perfectly Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
It's fair. I could see it. Jeff isn't my favorite character, so I think it's harder for me to give him 5 sometimes.
I think I like him more than you do, Jess. Just listening to you all these many episodes, I like him a lot. But I just feel like for the ones I gave 5 to, I felt there was I can't say more. There was the emission of their wonderfulness was greater.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I obviously Jing and Dean get bagels for me. Pierce gets a 2, and he's there, but he's like very below average when he's there.
Yep.
I gave Britta a 4. I love the Totorola of it. I love the idea that she's going to get her cat LASIK. I think it's very funny. I agree. Like, when she's there, she's serving wonderful things. It's just hard to give her more than a 4 when, like, she's not there a ton. I gave Troy a 4.5. Again, very similar thoughts, Josh, on, like, just to delineate that I thought the other ones were so 5s. And Troy was, like, right there. Like, right close to a 5. And then Jeff, Shirley, and Annie and Abed all get 5s from me. I think they're wonderful in this episode. I think we get 2 amazing natural pairs in Shirley and Jeff and Annie and Abed. Yep. There are reasons people ship Annie and Abed. They have wonderful chemistry. To be fair, Alison Brie could have chemistry with a wall. Like, she is Alison Brie, right? But, like, I just think their friendship is very funny. I think the fact that lengths that Annie will go to in this episode is absolutely hilarious. And it, like, really shows that side of her personality that, like, chloroformed that random dude, right? Uh-huh. Like, she will go places like you were not expecting her to go.
Yes.
And so I really love this episode. I think it's a great episode, and we have like
Oh my God. I don't know that we've ever had such a tight race.
It's a really tight race in the top five. The spread is 108.5 Meow Meow Beans at the low end for Jeff Winger, up to 112 for Britta at the top still, but it's closing in as Abed's got 111, Troy's got 110.5, Annie's got 109 Meow Meow Beans. So this had been Britta like really in the lead for a little while. Britta having a mostly absent episode while four other characters have like real streets ahead episodes is going to move the meow meows for sure.
I mean, it's worthy, right? Like, I think this goes to show that while we've had other seasons where it's very clear who's like killing it, I think this season has very much been that way where it's like, oh, this person's getting a really good episode while these other ones, it's maybe a little more mediocre. Mm-hmm. I love this tight race. I think it's going to be super interesting. It's just like, I was like, oh, Britta, like, I want her to succeed so badly I just like, she's such a fun, I think the reason I love her so much is because she's such a different character. Like, I feel like we've seen Jeff's before. And Britta feels very much unique to me in a way where we don't see a lot of her type of character on television. And so I want her to succeed so badly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
All right. Dean's list time. Garrett appeared in the episode and I was really tempted to just give Garrett a point for appearing, but
he turned away with slumped shoulders in the most brilliant fashion. I had that moment too of like,
I am starting to feel very strongly that if it's possible to get Garrett the Dean's List title so that we can have Garrett included in future editions of the community building theme song, I would really like to get us there. Leonard really earns it for me this week with the frozen pizza.
Usually don't give my Dean's List point based on like the end tag. I try not to like have that affect my meow meows too much. But between this and his moment with Shirley, like you got it. It has to be Leonard for me. I love Leonard. And this was like a perfect reason to give him a Dean's List point.
I would have given it to Leonard, but Jürgen gets mine because Jürgen is ausgezeichnet.
Someone's got to do it. Did you say Oscar Isaac? I'm pretty sure
I said Oscar
Kroll.
Isaac.
Oscar Isaac.
Yeah, enough of your Teutonic puns. Mm-hmm. Yes. Leonard so deserves it. So deserves it. But I feel that if I badgered Jess shamefully to put me on this episode because of the single best line of any sitcom I've ever heard, it would be sort of very odd not to give the person who delivered the line the
I think that's thing. Fair.
Yeah,
that's
so fair. It's Jürgen for me.
That's totally fair. All right, let's rate the episode. Again, I'm just trying to make this a little bit easier on myself the way that I'm rating these. So like there's a world where I'm a little bit higher on this than my actual score, but I think my actual score is still really high. I gave it a 3.5 is where I landed with this one. I really enjoyed this. I thought this was super, super fun. And I really loved seeing Jeff and Shirley together specifically. And I really enjoyed the Batman of it all. And I thought Annie was terrific and a really funny Britta moment. By and large, I really enjoyed this one. In isolation, I really enjoyed the anime sequence as well. I don't know how well it fit within the episode. I'm still kind of like chewing on that, but wasn't like game breaky by any stretch of the imagination. This was not like an elite episode of the show for me, but it was a very enjoyable episode of Community that I'd be thrilled to watch again.
Yeah, I feel very similarly. I gave it a 3.7. I think it is it's an excellent episode of Community. Outstanding episode of Community. I agree with you, Josh, though. I don't think it is. There's a reason it wasn't on my grouping of episodes for you to watch, right? Like it's a really good episode. We're missing a little bit. I feel the absence of Britta a little bit, and you feel the absence of Dean a little bit now that he's such a like established character at this point. So you do feel a little bit of absence there, but if it allows the other characters to shine, I'm totally cool with it. And I love the return of the Jeff and Shirley. So 3.7 from me.
Yeah, 3.5 for me. I agree with everything that you've both said. And I think at the beginning, Jess, you said it's not in anyone's top 10. Well, it might be, but, you know, not necessarily, but it will be in someone's top 30. I think the knocks are not enough Britta, no Dean. And also that the two the two storylines are completely parallel and don't meet in any way. I'm sure we could come up with a tortured way to thematically link them, but the best episodes of Community are either all of them together or there are storylines that intertwine or reflect or comparison to each other. So that is why, for me, it's a 3.5. But a 3.5 Cools is a very, very good episode. Like a very
great episode. Yes. And the audience is a little bit higher on it than we are at a 3.74. It's going to bring our average to a 3.61, which puts this firmly in fourth place overall out of the 9 episodes we've watched so far.
I feel like that really makes sense. Solid landing. Yeah, totally. All right. So that is Foosball and Nocturnal Vigilantism. Sarah, what a delight. What was the word for outstanding again?
Ausgezeichnet.
That was your performance on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
It was a pleasure.
I will see myself out.
Well, you can stick around for a little while longer if you want to give some plugs about the podcast that you do about the man in the gray suit who's standing in the water.
Yes. And then he bites and bites and bites with his teeth. I don't know. I'm starting to write that.
You're working on it.
Yeah. And we go to Tingletown. Yeah, something like that. So over on RHAP, you can catch me with the great Murray Forth on Crime Scene every week. We talk about a true crime, a documentary, a docuseries with incredible guests. And we, even in the grimmest moment, we find humor. I'm saying that to myself because I'm about to go into a very grim moment. And I guarantee that the screams will be between the whooshes.
Yes. Well, we appreciate the screams within the whooshes, without the whooshes, wherever the screams need to be. The screams are valid and worth shouting out. Now, Jess, are you screaming at all at Sarah Ferguson on the Shit 90s podcast?
You can always guarantee I'm screaming at Sarah for the most part. Yeah.
What's going on over there and elsewhere for you on PSR?
Well, more recently, we've been screaming at Joey Potter a lot on Dawson's Creek because she's doing things that we don't really like, and so we have to yell at her about them. And then on Boy Meets World, usually we're yelling at Corey most recently because he's doing things that we don't particularly like. So you
Corey
know
B?
Also Corey B. I'm always yelling Corey B. And then more recently, talking a little bit about like the crime of it all, we recently covered Harriet the Spy with your friend and mine, Stuart, from the Potion Recaps.
Yes.
So that was a ton of fun. And then we're also going to be covering sports, watching the Mighty Ducks. I've never seen the Mighty Ducks.
That? Yeah.
I'm going to watch the Mighty Ducks and maybe talk about sports soon.
Yeah.
So that'd be fun. And
Now that's a sports puck.
Yes. Not a sports ball. It's a sports. Well, though, I think they do have balls too, though. There's a ball you could do in
street
hockey.
I guess. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, there's a little round.
Did you just
say
street hockey?
Yeah.
Street hockey.
Yeah. Did I say it like that? I don't know.
Street hockey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Roll the tape.
Yeah. You could try it. I don't know. Well, that's great. I look forward to your Mighty Ducks coverage, Jess. And I look forward to you holding it down here on Community Building for the next couple of weeks. I have some travel in my future. I'm going to be away from the podcast with just a few exceptions over the next 2 weeks. So I'm going to be missing Community Building. But we've taken enough breaks. This train needs to keep rolling. So I know next week you've got a bonus show, and then you're also going to have a recap after the bonus show for the following week. What's on deck for next time, or do you not want to tease it too much?
I think we can do a little tease. We won't have one. We shall have two guests on in Josh's absence, and we're going to like take the characters of Community and we're going to sort them into something. And if you are a member of the Potion Recaps Discord, you might be very familiar with this particular thing we are sorting them into. That is what I shall say. And there's also two episodes about this particular thing in Community.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be really, really fun. I'll be back on the podcast in a couple of weeks. I look forward to hearing all of the shenanigans that ensue between now and then. Sarah, thank you so much. Jess, thank you as well. What an incredible time. We thank you out there in community building land. We thank the patrons of Post Show Recaps who make podcasts like these possible. Patreon.com/Post Show Recaps. If you want to become one of them, get community building early, watch it live. Really fun time. Until next time, everybody, Corey B, take us away.
This is a show in season three. If you didn't know, Wickland Jazz, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.